Well, good morning. A little while back, I was spending some time with the Lord, and it was really during the middle of our football season. Because I started to ask questions, and I know you're like, what's God got to do with football? But I see the work that our kids have put in. And I see them going to practice and they're working hard. And I know the kids personally. I form relationships with them. I know that they're very talented. I know they're athletic. I know that they won at the middle school level. I know that they've done well at every level until they reach Southern Wayne. So I started asking the Lord. I said, Lord, all right, it's possible we've had bad coaches. It's possible. Perhaps... you know, it doesn't translate when you move that many schools together and you put them all together. Maybe they have trouble forming a cohesive bond to move forward. And real quickly, the Lord reminded me, He said, you could not be further from the truth or being correct. So, you know, my question was then, I was like, okay, I want to know what it is. What is it? And He actually brought another school to my thinking, so to speak, and I'm just going to say the school is Charles B. Aycock. If anybody here is familiar with Aycock, they don't lose. And we laugh about it and we kind of joke, oh, you know, that's just that. But the Lord made it very clear to me that the difference between Aycock and Southern Wayne was that Southern Wayne had forgotten how to win. That when you take and I know this for a fact because I have a buddy who teaches there. He said that when he took the coaching job, that the principal sat him down and said, first and foremost, we don't lose here. If you lose here, you won't work here. And, you know, I laughed about it. I was like, man, that ain't how we roll at Southern Wayne. You lose here, we'll give you 10 years. And that was funny, but the Lord corrected me real quick and He said, that's the problem. That's 100% the problem. Now, how does this tie into us? Well, there are things that we have allowed to become a standard in our life. Flashing back to Southern Wayne, we win one game, we're tickled. Oh, man, we won a game this year. That's enough to make us content for a whole nother year. When everywhere else you win one game, and you're just getting started. You know, you're getting thirsty. You're getting hungrier. And that's really, if you think about it, the atmosphere of the church right now as well. You know, we've had some, I guess you'd call them recent victories in the Supreme Court. We've had some things go well under past administrations that were starting to kind of go our way. And we had gotten into a place where we were starting to feel pretty good about ourselves. And we got satisfied. That's what happened. We really did. And what happened was, is we were lulled to sleep just a little bit there. I'm going to ask you a quick question. How many, man, be honest with me, okay? Seriously, be honest. Show your hands. How many people in here are tired? Raise your hand. Exhausted. That is a sign that you have forgotten how to win. And here's why it is. You are bombarded every day with things. And if you're not equipped to deal with them, and you're not equipped to how to immediately take those things to God, you start taking on pieces of this stuff. And what happens when you're exhausted is exactly what the enemy wants you to do. When you're exhausted, you'll give up on situations you could have won. You'll give up on things that normally when you're in your groove, you would have knocked it out in the first 10 minutes. You'd have put your foot down and you'd have made a stand. You said, you know, we're not doing this. But when you're exhausted, you're looking for your next breath. You're not looking for your next victory. You're looking for your next breath. When you're tired and you're wore out and you're riddled with fear, you start putting up with things that you wouldn't normally put up with. You struggling with your kids at the house? Well, look, are you tired? When you get tired as a parent, you start permitting things that used to you would not have permitted. And because what you're saying is you start doing and you start saying, well, I know we're struggling here, but at least we have this figured out here. That is the mentality of a loser. Because a loser will make excuses at any cost. Hey, we didn't win, but we had some moral victories. I don't know a single time in the history of anything ever done that anybody kept a track of moral victories. Ever. A moral victory is something you tell yourself to help you lessen the blow of losing. Well, man, we lost, but they were a really good team, and you know, we only lost by X amount of points. So that means that we're not totally bad, we're just a little bad. But we're laughing and we're cutting up. But if I could take that and put it directly into your life, you've done it. You've probably done it this week. I have. You took it and you said, you know what? Ah, man, I prayed about that situation. They didn't get the healing that I thought they were going to get. But the doctor's got a conclusion. They're going to put them on some medicine. Maybe it'll get better. That is a moral victory. And you're going to just forget about it. And you're like, well, you know, he's the best. I'm guilty of this. I'm just telling on myself right now. There ain't nothing I can do for them. They're in the best place they can be. They're at the hospital. Well, that's absolutely wrong. The best place for them to be is in my prayers. Me bringing them up and petitioning them before the Father. That's the best place for them to be. So what happens when you forget how to win / dream? Because when you're winning, you're dreaming. The first thing that starts happening when you start winning is you start looking ahead. Okay, I've won here. You know, if we string a couple of these things together, that's called a winning streak. And if we put a winning streak together, all of a sudden we start talking about playoffs. And if you win a couple games in the playoffs, now we start talking about championships. So what is the state championship in your life right now? What is it? My championship would probably look different than yours. I know it would. Because what I want right now more than anything is I want a change to take place in my school. We had a situation yesterday. I was working a wrestling tournament, which 100% reminded me why I don't ever want to coach again. And I'm just being honest because it's an all-day thing. And if you've never worked a wrestling tournament, there's a smell that comes from that building that you will never replicate in anything. You could use it for weapon. I'm just, but we're sitting there and a situation occurred. And I watched a young man do something he should not have done. He said something, the emotions got to him, he made a mistake. And instead of the coach taking this youngin' aside and saying, hey, that's not the way we do it. He immediately started arguing how he could keep the points that they won. That's why I won't change in my school. Because we've lost the vision of what's important. You know, when the coaches I had growing up, I don't know how godly of a men they were. But I know for a fact that every one of them, their number one priority for me was to make me a better man. At the very basics of it, was to make me a better man. Was that a godly man? Probably not. But there were things that I learned from them that are very godly characteristics. You know, from one coach I learned that no matter what the age gap difference is, if someone's older than you, it's yes, sir, yes, ma'am. I don't care if they're 20 minutes older than you, it's yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And it's not a disrespectful thing. I've dealt with people who are like, don't call me that. It's not. It's actually me honoring you. Hey, I honor the fact that you're older than me, and I'm going to listen to what you have to say. Because if you're 20 minutes older than me, you have 20 more minutes here gaining knowledge that I'm, and something really important could have happened in that 20 minutes. Like, I don't know. Wisdom. Yeah, you know, hey, you don't eat fire. I mean, you may have figured that in the first 20 minutes. I need that. You know, other things that I learned was that if, and I struggle with this sometimes because be honest with you, I just don't care sometimes. But I had one coach tell me, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. I was like, why does that matter? You told me to be here at 9, but you want me here at 8:45. Then tell me 8:45. But if you tell me 8:45, I got to be there 8:30. Make up your mind. But I realized that as I've gotten older, that those things were important. Well, because did it make me a better man? I don't know, but it set me up for winning. It absolutely does. And here we are, we get bogged down with the pressures of everyday life. And the first thing that we start giving up on are the things that made us successful in the beginning. We forget. Financial stuff breaks out. You're struggling. You got no idea how you're going to pay that bill. No idea. You're looking at it, what you're bringing in this month. You're looking at what the hospital, the bank, the mortgage, whatever, whoever, whatever wants from you. And it's not there. Well, the first thing you start doing is you start thinking about how can I generate more income to pay these people off, to give them just enough to get them off my back. When you should stop and go, you know what? I've been here before. I heard this a bunch this week, and I love this. I know how this ends. I've seen this episode. I've seen stuff in front of me that I'm like, whew, I don't think we got that. And then all of a sudden, like Miss Joy said a while ago, it's there. But when you're exhausted and you're tired and you have been lulled to sleep, you forget how to win. You do. And your mentality changes from winning to getting by. And getting by is an absolute tactic of the enemy. 100%. He's willing to yield the ground he gave you already. He is. If he can keep you from gaining more. Because that theory works. It does. You know, going back to sports, I know many a football team who has won many of a game on the concept of bend, don't break with defense. Give up all the yards you want to until you get into the red zone. Don't give up points. Put a stop in there. And that's basically the same concept the enemy's using with us. Is if he can get you in a spot where it's hard, but you can have a little tiny victory and it gives you just enough room to take a deep breath, you'll stay right there. You'll stay right there the whole time. Some of us has had some pretty good victories in here lately. Right? I mean, think about it. I mean, we may not see it right now. I mean, Carrie, you're pregnant. But you have to be very careful here because you have a breakthrough. Now what do you do with that youngin? It would be easy for you to get happy and go, man, I had a baby. This is something I've prayed for. This is something I've fasted for. And this finally happened. What do you do next? So your state championship looks different than mine. You're just starting out. All of a sudden you're in a playoff situation and you're the home team and you're favorited by a whole bunch of points. I've seen a lot of good teams lose there. What do you do next? What are we going to do next in this moment? You know, you get a big promotion at work. You get happy. You start puffing your chest out. You go buy a boat. You go buy a truck. Motorcycle. I don't know what you buy. It's y'all. Some of y'all, I'd buy some hunting stuff. I swear I would. I'd love. That's what I do. But what do you do? What do you do next? Did God give you the promotion for you to go spend on some cool stuff? No. You have been a very good steward of what you've had. That didn't give you financial responsibility. I mean, give you the ability to go and be irrational with your money for a little while. You've been faithful with what you've had, so he rewarded you with more. See, Pastor said, Graham Cook, he had this, I guess it was a dream. And he said, in the midst, you know, we all know the scripture, in the midst of your enemy, I prepare a table before them for you. And I've always really liked that scripture because I thought it was just, you know, like if I got to fight a war, he got my back. But, you know, I was talking to the Lord about it this week and he said it like this. He said, I'm going to show a couple of things about that. He said in his dream, in his vision, I don't remember how the Lord said it to me. He said, but the waiter wasn't rushed either. The only one who is feeling pressure and feeling like rushed is us. You know, he's sitting there asking the guys, like, you want the fish? You want the chicken? You want tea? You want coffee? What do you want? And Graham Cook in his dream is like, look, man, they're right there. And waiter turns around and goes, he's like, yeah. So do you want to get this meal started? What do you want to do? You need a minute to look at the menu? That's really what he's saying. That is a winner's mentality. No matter what's coming your way, God is not a reactionary God. He doesn't get moved by a circumstance or a situation. He doesn't. Oh, well, you broke your leg. You're going to be out of work for a few weeks. You want the chicken or the fish? Because he's not moved by it. He's already got a plan. All hell may be breaking loose in your life this morning. Look, I'm going to be real honest with you. This week has been tough for me. It's been super tough. It had been real easy for me this morning to call and go, hey, Miss Joy, I got a lot going on this morning. It just ain't. I can't do it. I got to go see my mom. She's in the hospital. I got to go figure out what we're going to do, you know. But I have to trust that the Lord has my back here. He has it. Why else would he give me the word and just go, you know what? I'm going to give you a word. I'm going to give you a platform to speak the word. I'm going to give you a time and a destination for it. And then at the last minute, I'm going to be like, you can't do that. Psych. That's not how God works. It's never been about how God works. Ever. It's so very easy to get caught up in everyday stuff. If you cut on the news, if you do anything, the Lord told me this week, he said, just like this, he said, my body has been lulled to sleep in fear. And I was like, I need you to elaborate on that a little bit. I don't get it. He said, you have Christians who move from one conspiracy theory to the next. And I was like, I don't even like those. But he said that what happens is the world has got you so caught up on everything else going on out here that you have forgotten that none of that matters. Only what matters is right here, me and you. Only thing that matters. So I started looking it up. In famine, in all these other times when folks were eating each other's babies, God took care of his. He took care of his. There was never a moment in any time, I dare you, get it out, look in all the book, the red letters too, and find me one spot where it says, God said, oops, I forgot about you. You slipped through the crack this time. I'm sorry, we'll get you on the next famine. He doesn't do that. Am I saying it's foolish for you to store up and have a savings? No, don't read into it that deep. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if you get caught up and your only sole focus is taking care of what you can grab and hoard and keep, you're missing the point. Guess what he said? That's a losing mentality. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are the ones that when all hell breaks loose, we're supposed to stand in front of everybody and go, hey, calm down. He did it before. He's going to do it again. As a nation, we started losing when everything became instant. Instant gratification. Instagram. Instant potatoes, instant rice. You can buy rice in a bag now and be done in what, 60 seconds? And it's delicious. It is. I mean, it tastes like somebody's abuela cooked it. I mean, somebody's grandma cooked that. But it's delicious. But what I want you to see in this is that we are spoiled rotten by the world. And when we became spoiled and we became attached and addicted to instant, we forgot what it's like to wait upon the Lord. We forgot. We forgot that in that waiting, in that moment of waiting, there are lessons and principles and things learned that you use in everyday life to be successful tomorrow. Close ball games produce better teams. God has never been about giving you everything at one time and saying, hey man, here it all is, figure it out as you go. If God would have given me the things that I know today and the tools that I feel like I have inside of me, I would have jacked it up when I was 17 years old. I would have broken some people and been like, well, go see a counselor. Yeah, it's what I'd have done. That's who I'd have been. And this isn't to preach y'all and be like, y'all, you better get right. No, it's me. It is me. I mean, you got drive-thrus, bro. I can get a hamburger and like, well, it ain't like that no more. It used to be quick. It used to be pretty quick. But now I can have a whole meal picked up in a window that used to, I would have had to have, listen to what I'm about to say, that I would have had to go into the kitchen and stay around my family as they was prepared. And during that time while it was in the, we were sitting there preparing a meal, there wouldn't have been a TV on because that wasn't a thing. There wouldn't have been internet because that wasn't a thing. Look, you know, I did this thing earlier in the year in my classroom that I said, hey, look, I'm not going to take your cell phones. Not because I don't believe that you should be held to a different standard than I am. Because if my wife texts me, I'm going to be like, but I'm going to put it right back away. I'm going to use it appropriately. But the problem is that the kids don't. And I've learned that now. Next year, next semester, I'm going to take a different approach about cell phones. It was not my best plan of action. But hey, we learn. So a couple of weeks later, I was like, this ain't working. So I go to my whiteboard and I write my name on it. And I make everybody in my classroom write their name on the whiteboard. We're going to do something different today. Put your phone on the table face up. I don't know about that. I'm not taking your phone. I don't care what you got going on your phone. I'm not going to go through your photos. Just put it on your phone, the desk. Why? Every time your phone goes off, sends you a notification. You go to pick up your phone to look at it, something, hop up, go put a mark on the board. Why? Just do it. Okay. So within a 90-minute class period, including myself, we stopped counting around 13 or 14, just for me. Like 13 or 14 times in 90 minutes, that thing steals from me. And that's what it's doing. It's stealing. So what am I going with this? I'm saying that we have given up grounds that used to produce winners. A proven, tried and true equation that we used to have for this thing called family of spending time together. We gave up. For instance, and I don't mean like for instance, I'm saying for instant gratification. You know, if you don't like music playing, you can pop headphones in and listen to whatever you want to listen to. If you don't like what's on TV, I can sit beside you and watch a whole episode on my phone. If you don't like what you're hearing at church, you can play a video game or look at Facebook. We have forgotten how to win. And here is where it's going to hurt your feelings. And it's our fault. It hurt my feelings. I forgot how to win. There were things that I used to would never tolerate. Ever. Things that come on that I watch on an ad on my phone or on TV just to see the rest of a TV show. Used to, I would have been appalled by that. But now I'm so used to seeing it, I'm just like, this is stupid. I can't believe they got this on TV. No, I can't believe I'm watching it on TV. Right. Yeah, I had my hand busted so hard this week. And I'm going to tell on myself. It hurt my feelings. I'm a 20-year-old teacher. Like, I've taught for 20 whole years. I consider I'm pretty decent at it. You know, kids like me. No phone calls this year. Complaining about Mr. Sullivan. We're winning. Right? Yeah, I haven't been fired. Yay. That's a tough situation these days. So we have this thing called Achieve 3000 at school. So we're working hard, and I'm not complaining about the program. I could explain to you in detail what a Lexile score is and what it means and how this helps. But I'm not, because it's boring to me. I know it's boring to you. So we issue these things, and I'm doing it. Every Friday, we're required to at least, in non-English classes, we've got to do at least one article. That's not fair. English has to do four articles a week, so I think it's only fair. I'm going to pull my weight. My class is going to do two. Right? And I'm like, I'm a player. Sign me up. I'm trying to start this week. You know? So we do that. My principal walks over, and at the last meeting, she's handing out our stuff for Achieve 3000. And I've got, you know, I'm sitting there feeling myself. I'm like, oh boy, I'm about to show y'all something. But I flip it open and I look and it's like 0000000. I'm like, what in the world? I mean, I know I'm doing Achieve 3000. Turns out I'm the only one doing it on Friday. Them kids are playing on the phone or doing something else. They got the internet in front of them. So they're like, oh boy, as long as this computer's open, it looks like I'm doing it. And dumb Mr. Sullivan was like, y'all be professional. I'm going to stay back here. It's going to be easy Friday. Y'all going to read quietly. It's life. So Miss Rogers, my boss, comes in and she's talking to me. And I say, I cannot for the life of me figure out what these kids have been doing on Friday. Why are they supposed to be doing Achieve? And she said, but that ain't really my question. I was like, what? Do tell. She said, well, I'm kind of concerned what the teacher's doing while they're not doing their work. Oh, I see what you did there. It popped. It hurt. I was like, man, she just called me out. She just called me out. It hurt. It hurt my feelings. But she told me, she said, and then the next breath was like, don't be offended by the truth. I need you to do better. If you're not fighting for your kids to win, I hadn't talked about any of this to her. If you're not fighting for your kids to be successful and holding them to an accountability model, they're not going to win. Oh, okay. So I have some responsibility in this too. Yeah, 100%. See, I got my hand popped. It hurt. Hurt me for a few days. I can promise you this. The next day I was walking around that classroom slapping tables, be like, do Achieve 3000. I mean, I'm taking phones and putting them away. I'm like, turn them them earbuds, whatever you call them off. I'm so old and mad at this point. I'm calling them earbuds, pop-uds. They ain't headphones, they're hair phones. I sound like I'm 80 years in there fussing at people. And the kid's like, Sullivan, why are you tripping? You got me in trouble. That's why Sullivan's tripping. Like, I woke up yesterday morning, life was good. Today in the meeting, I got chewed out because y'all ain't doing what you're supposed to do. And, you know, and I'm like, hey, you know, and all of a sudden it comes full circle. I'm like, okay, God, you got me. You're right. I have really let my guard down on some things too. I have. Things that I would not, as a teacher, had let slip. But what I realize is it's not about teaching. It's about my life. Because if I'm letting something like teaching slip, stuff that if I'm on top of makes my life easier every day in the classroom, then I know that I've let stuff in my own life slip too. And I have, 100%. You know, just in the last week, I'm going to tell myself, you know, I'm transparent. I don't care. I laughed at a joke that was really funny that was not appropriate. It was, I laughed, and immediately I was like, man, that wasn't okay. But I'm still laughing. Like, help me. Right here, Lord, be still and let me and love me because I need it. I lost my temper, and in a situation that I shouldn't have. I'm just telling you guys, like, I'm not perfect, never claimed to be. But all these instances immediately God brought back to me. He said, man, there, and there are areas where you've given up and you have forgotten how to win. Period. And then he hit me with, and you wonder why you're sitting still. God, well, how long am I going to be in this season? Until you figure it out, dummy. Sometimes God talks to me different. I guess that's our relationship. Till you figure it out. Okay, what do I need to figure out? You need to figure out that Every decision, everything that you do from here on forward is going to affect how much you fulfill what I've called you to do. Then it got real. It got real to me. Because now it's not a decision I'm just making today in the classroom to get myself home at 3 o'clock, 3:15. Now it's a decision that everything I do from here on out is going to affect my effectiveness for Him. I can never ever have a voice to those kids at that school if they see me laughing and doing things that are not lining up with the Word of God. I can't. I absolutely cannot. I can't cut up with those kids. I can't joke around with them the way that I had done in the past to be the cool guy. I can't. Because you know what I'm learning is that I don't want to be the cool guy anymore. I'd rather be Daddy Sullivan is who I'd rather be. I'd rather be the father figure in that classroom that they come to and I go, hey, you're messing up. I know for a fact that that's not okay. And if I sit here and talk to you about it without telling you that that's not okay, that is me telling you without telling you I'm okay with it also. Remembering how to win is easy. So easy. They do it all through the Old Testament. When they had something that was a win, back in the day, they put a pile of rocks and a sign on it. Boop. You remember this place. This is where we won. Seriously, we laugh about it, but it's true. You know, God won so much. You know, at some point walking around, you got to be like, well, what's that over there? Well, that's just victory 6:31:22. You know, just... I don't have those kind of markers in my life though right now. I don't. But what I do have is testimonies. What I do have is when situations look bleak and it looked like I had no possible option of getting out of it, but God happened. You know, I think back to little stuff. I remember growing up, there was this railroad trestle. We used to go fishing, and then, you know, boys are dumb. In fact, flat out, we are. I mean, one kid says something, you're like, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do it. There was this 30-foot railroad trestle, and it went into a pond we fished in. Well, one of us was like, you know what we should do? We should jump off of this into there. Okay, cool. Jumping off, boom. I mean, it was the scariest thing. We never hit bottom. I don't know how deep that water hole is, but it's deep. Never hit bottom. Hurricane Fran happened. Hold on. It gets better. Hurricane Fran happened and the dam busted. We went back there to check on a fishing hole because that's what was important at the time for me. What none of us knew is that there was a 50-foot concrete barrier underneath that railroad trestle that the water on top of it was that deep. How none of us hit it, I don't know. Guys, I have never been tiny. I don't fly far in the air. When I left the bank, I'm pretty sure my trajectory was this. I don't remember flying 50 feet. I'm just being real. But that's a testimony that the Lord protected me there. Because, and I think back now, I'm like, when things look bleak, I should be dead. I'd hit that concrete from 30 foot, there's no doubt in my mind. And you know what made it worse about the concrete? There was rebarb sticking up in it. Oh yeah. So I would have been like a shish kebab too. Just laying there. And I mean, and what are my little buddies going to do? At 18 years old, a half mile off the road, no cell phones, because this is back in the day. We had pagers. But I don't know how y'all know how a pager works, but you couldn't just push that button and do an SOS signal. And it was no good unless there was a payphone. So, you know, we all looked at it, and at one time, it was like we all went, whew, huh, well, that was dumb. So we waited till it filled up with water and jumped off of it again. Yeah, because now we knew we had to go 50 feet. We're safe now. I didn't say I was a smart kid. I just said I was a kid. You know, I think when our house was hit by a tornado, I saw a tree get picked up and pin a truck to the ground, yet there was zero damage to my house. I think about being awakened. Not awake. I was awake, barely. I was sitting in the shower by a dude beating on my house one morning. Boom, 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 boom. Hey, man, your house is on fire. What? But I put it out. Don't worry about it. Cool. And we lived in an old house. It was made of lighter knot. Like that old, I'm telling you, like, I know I burnt one of the pieces of siding before and it burned like a Christmas tree. You ever lit a Christmas tree on fire? You don't blink, you missed it. But the guy stops his truck, pulls a broom out the back of his truck and beats the fire out on my house. And knocks on the door nonchalantly, like, hey man, I saved your life, I'm going to work. Appreciate you. I think about situations like that and I know my God is good. I know He's good. I know He is. But then this little voice creeps up and goes, what about when you prayed for your dad? What about that? Your dad died. He did. He did. That's a fact. But the Lord answered so many prayers in the middle of that too. It's easy to find the areas where you were let down. Super, super easy because you got help in the back of your head telling you where you got let down. Because that's a very valuable strategy of Him. You know what's a shame? Another football, I know, just follow me. I sometimes forget all the wins. We'll go Duke basketball this time. Just mixing it. I forget about all the wins Duke's had. But I remember each and every single loss it feels like. It's kind of crazy, right? How quick we forget the good times when something bad happens. If you don't think do I think God cares about Duke basketball? Maybe. I don't know. I don't think so. I think I'm way more into it than He is. Anyways, I digress. We only remember the bad stuff in full color. That's what the importance of your testimonies are. Your testimony is your sign saying, my God did not fail. Boom. And no matter what anyone else or any circumstances may say, enemy, you cannot cross this line. Because I refuse to be beat where I've had victory. Something else happens, boom, you throw it down. You know, Christy told me about y'all giving testimony Friday night. And the Lord quickly reminded me, He said, and those are areas that they'll never fail at again. Never. You'll never be barren again. Ever. Won't be. You won't be. Ever. Never. I mean, think about the things we've seen in this house of restorations of things have happened. That there are not many things that can be thrown at this house, even though our numbers don't match our testimonies. That's what I just heard. Our numbers don't. If you could put your testimonies in here, we'd have to have 15 or 20 more warehouses of the things.
Our testimonies aren't in here. They're all.
Exactly.
They're not confined to this place.
So we get focused on numbers. That's a losing mentality.
Yeah.
We're not focused on numbers. You're telling me that focusing on numbers is like saying that God didn't have enough of 12. You give me 12 solid guys and I'll show you a state championship team. And about any sport you can think about. 12 folks who will go the distance, who refuse to forget the victories of the Lord, and I'll show you changing the world. God's already provided that testimony and that game plan. He's already given it to you. He showed you how to change the world with 12 guys. And then He flipped this another one and said, you know what? Maybe you don't have 12, so I'll just send one. Jesus, He gave us the game plan. You obey what He tells you to do. He brings those winning ways right back to your forefront. To kind of start to land this thing, I want to flip back to the dreaming side of it. There is creativity, there is strategies, there are things that are laying dormant in each and every one of us in here right now. That we have forgotten about because we've gotten so wrapped up with our personal record. There are strategies to end child trafficking. There are strategies to impact entire trades and industries in here. There are businesses. There are mission ideas. There are clothing brands. There are musicians and songs that are laying dormant in your heart because you have forgotten how to dream. Everything in us, everything that you see around us was fulfilled by a dream someone had. There was someone out there was dreaming with God about how to do an artificial heart. They had to. Who better to dream with than the one who designed it? Who better to dream with the one who decided that, you know what? I'm going to make this really complex system that you can eat some really bad stuff, but I'm going to give like filter stations and I'm going to make it okay. That was our God. There are ideas laying in us because we're so focused on trying to just be comfortable and advancing to end world hunger, to end like our energy crisis, if you want to call it that. I mean, there are things all around us, inside of us, that God has put in us, strategically put in us for this very hour. And the only one keeping it inside of you is you. The only one. I want to be in the same mentality as Charles B. Aycock High School coaches are. We don't lose here. I'm not saying you can't be on our team if you occasionally lose. I think that's a bit drastic. But that's the mentality I want. And if I see one of you struggling, I want to be able to take what I have and come to you and your aid and go, hey, we're going to fix this. We're 100% going to fix this. We're going to move forward together. So what does it look like moving forward? Pretty simple. When times get tough, remember when you had victories. Remember those moments where it was impossible, but God. Remember when you didn't have a prayer, so to speak, and God stepped through in the perfect time and said, you not only have a prayer, but you have a friend, you have a defender, you have a father, you have whatever it takes right here in front of you and inside of you to be successful in that moment. You really do. And it seems so simple, but the hinge point comes down on us believing that. It ends up falling internally about you settling, and that's not making your mind up, because I can make my mind up, but if I don't settle things here, it'll never be made. I don't want to ride the merry-go-round anymore. I didn't like it as a kid, and I don't like it now. Those horses freak me out. I don't want to play no more. I don't want to keep running in circles. I don't want to chase my tail another day. I'm ready to move forward and take ground. Look around this place. There is an ample body of people here that if we make our mind up that today is the day, that we drive our stakes down and go, you know what? I'm not giving another inch. That we will see the harvest come in and we will be one of the main cogs of it happening. They got to have a place to come. Why not here? Why not us? Well, the only ones that can keep it from being here and us is us. If we're not in a position to have a winning mentality and remembering that we are all winners, we have never been losers. You have just convinced yourself in the last couple of whatever time it's been that things haven't gone your way, that that's who you are. You took on a false identity. My God doesn't lose. And if I'm made in His image, then that means that one of us is lying and He is not a liar. So I know it's got to be either this or this lying. Identify it. Identify it. Seriously, identify it. Get before the Lord this week and say, Lord, I don't feel like I'm winning like You want me to be. Where do I go? What do I do? Show me. Just show me what it is, God. As ugly, as bad as it is, show me. I'll take it. I'll work on it. Me and you'll sit down. We'll pray about it. We'll figure it out. Because that's where the hinge point for everyone is. There's something inside of you that says, I don't trust You. I tried to tiptoe around the whole time, but that's what it is. It's a trust issue. What's keeping you from saying, I release You? What's keeping you from saying, hey, You're forgiven? Hey, what's keeping you from saying, I missed the mark, can You forgive me? You know, the older I get, the more I understand the power of I'm sorry. I do. I've never really had an issue going, hey, I messed up, I'm sorry. But the thing inside of me was I needed to know that I actually messed up. Sometimes the only time that healing can ever take place is when you take yourself to a side of all your feelings and you humble yourself and go, hey, I know deep down that I may not have owned this. It may not be my fault, but sometimes the key to unlocking something in you is for me going, hey, I'm sorry. You know what else that's a sign of? Leadership. When you can put yourself on a lower plane and go, hey, I don't know whose fault this really is, but I'm going to own it. It's mine. Please forgive me. Whatever I did to hurt your feelings, if it's real to you, it happened. Forgive me. Let's move forward together. That's what it is. We need to move forward. It's not a desire to. It's a need. The Lord is literally waiting on us. He's waiting on us to put ourselves in the correct alignment for us to be successful again. Does that mean we've been completely wrong? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. Again, don't read in that far. But I will be honest with you enough to tell you, I've been about this successful. And I've been like this much not. And that's internal mess I've had going on in me. I've had bad attitudes. I've had hurts. I've had things that I thought I released and I thought I healed, but I held on to it. And there's this like spot in the back of my heart. I think I've just been shoving it where, but that spot's full now. It's full. I've seen it. It's really ugly and I'm unpacking as fast as I can go. I'm reaching and grabbing and pulling. And I won't tell you if I've hurt anyone in here. This is step one. Hey, forgive me. Let's move forward together. I didn't mean it. Sorry. But that's it. I don't want to forget how to win anymore. And sometimes winning means, hey, I need you. I need you with me. We can't do this without you. Sometimes you have to humble yourself and tell folks that. I have no problem admitting to you guys I need each and every one of you in here. What does that look like? I don't know. Maybe something small. Maybe a huge role. I don't know those roles yet. We haven't arrived in that junction. But I do know that if you're in here, you're in my life for a reason. You're supposed to be. Each and every person in here, whether you were born into the family or not, regardless, you have a decision whether or not you're here. and you've chosen to be here. Therefore, you mean something to me. I need you to remember how to win. I need you to help me remember how to win. There are things that I may not see that you will see in me. There are things I will see in you that you don't see in yourself. Iron sharpens iron. Remember that. Always has, and it always will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for today, God. I thank you for each and every person in here. Lord, I pray that over the next few days, God, that you really just open and expand hearts. Let them see that just because they may not have seen the victories that they wanted to see doesn't mean, like Miss Joy said, well, I go that the story's over. There's still time. There's still time. Lord, I thank you that this room is filled to the brim with winners that know nothing but to be successful, that everything their hand touches prospers, that, Lord, when they step into a situation, they be a breath of fresh air wherever they go. That there's a thing of frustration when it work and they walk into a situation, that they become known as a problem solver. Because winning attracts winners. It does. Lord, I thank you so much, Father, for you being the greatest winner of all time. Lord, I give you praise and I thank you each and every day, Father, for that you are restoring us to be more and more like you in your image every day. Father, I thank you for everything you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.